This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marjorie Taylor Greene got swatted. What is that? We're going to talk to her about that tonight. Dr. Fauci remains unafraid. We'll talk about him and Johnny Come Latelys. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Why do we talk about a reckoning all the time? How many times have you heard me say the word reckoning? You're probably rolling your eyes at this point in time. Why? I think it's important we understand that before we go into Fauci, and I mean, we have a huge show for you tonight, but why do we talk about that? Is it because of revenge? Am I being vengeful? If we're being honest, it's just you and me here. Maybe there's a little of that. Let's just being honest with you, maybe there is a little of that. I look at the destruction of this country, especially the destruction that happened because of our insane COVID lockdown stuff. And I'm angry. I do want a little bit of revenge. That's fair. But that's not the real reason, not the main reason, I should say, I talk about a reckoning. We have in this country a gigantic system now where the people who lead our institutions hate the country. So they hate you. You, the middle class, you're the one who challenges their power. They hate your freedoms. They hate your red meat. They hate your gas-powered car. They hate you. They hate that you won't just give them more power. And so because of that, they will use every opportunity they can to attack you and to attack your freedoms. That's really what they did under COVID. Remember, the reason we had such a horrific COVID response that did so much destruction in this country was they were trying to attack Donald Trump's voters. They were trying to attack the economy Trump had built so he couldn't win a re-election. It had nothing to do with the virus. These people never cared about the virus. That's why they were all caught out partying and vacationing and whatnot. They never cared about the virus. It was all about attacking you. I talk about a reckoning because I understand we're dealing with evil, power-hungry people who will do it again. Why? Well, because they're evil. Well, yeah, that's part of it. The real reason is they're not afraid. If my neighbor has a dog that jumps into my yard and tries to attack one of my sons, I can't change the dog. I can't change his nature. My only choice is to make him afraid to ever do that again. His nature is what it is. These people, the Faucis of the world, the Biden CDC, FDA, Bill Gates, the Bezos, all these people who run the world now, you're not going to change their nature. You're certainly not going to appeal to their good nature because they don't have one. The only chance we have is to make them afraid to hurt us. That's why we talk about a reckoning. And that's why when Dr. Fauci gets a $350,000 pension after destroying the country, doing as much as anyone in the United States of America to destroy the country, that's why that's so disastrous. Not only is he not afraid after what he did to this country, he's getting a gigantic reward. Chances are strong you'll never make $350,000 in your life. That's gigantic money. He's going to make that every year for the rest of his life, for destroying the country. And he's so unafraid, he feels completely comfortable going on TV and saying how the hearings he's undoubtedly going to be pulled into, oh, how it's going to go and how it's not going to go.
If once you've retired, Republicans want you to go testify, is that something you would do?
Sure, I certainly would consider that, but you've got to remember, I believe oversight is a very important part of government structure, and I welcome it and can be productive. But what has happened up to now is more of a character assassination than it is oversight. So sure, I'd be happy to cooperate so long as we make it something that is a dignified oversight, which it should be. and not just bringing up ridiculous things and attacking my character. That's not oversight.
Listen to how unafraid he is. This is a human being. After destroying America, he's about to be called in front of the United States Senate, and he's going to have to answer some very, very difficult questions, questions he probably can't answer at all. And he feels totally comfortable going on TV and saying, listen, here's how it's going to go, and here's how it's not going to go. Totally unafraid. That's not supposed to be how it is. He should be sitting there pooping his pants in fear about going in front of the Senate, but he's not. Instead, he's going on Rachel Maddow's show talking about all the idiots who oppose him and how they're conspiracy theorists.
There is a weird, obsessive, violent, ongoing demonization of you by the right that is hinged on COVID.
What we're dealing with now is just a distortion of reality, Rachel. I mean, conspiracy theories which don't make any sense at all, pushing back on sound public health measures, you know, making it look like trying to save lives is encroaching on people's freedom.
You hear how he talked about freedom at the end? You notice it's happening more and more as the communist gets more and more control of all the cultural pillars that run our country. You'll notice how that word, how they kind of scoff whenever they say it. Almost like you talk about the vomit or something like that. Their freedom. Freedom. I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger even going on TV and saying, screw your freedom. I remember Joe Biden getting up and saying this about your freedom.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
Listen to how they talk about the land of the free. Remember what I told you about, 5 minutes ago? How they despise you and your freedom. They can't help themselves. From Fauci to Biden, now when they bring it up, freedom, freedom. I have to hear about your freedoms. And that's what they're comfortable saying on television. What do you think they say behind closed doors when they get together at a party in the Hamptons somewhere? What do you think they really say about you and your freedoms? Now, what you're going to see a lot of now, is revisionist history. You see, if you've been watching I'm Right for a couple of years, you understand that from the get-go, from the second 15 days to slow the spread was announced, I lost my mind. I explained very carefully how all of this stuff was going to destroy America. I explained the mental health crisis it would create. I explained the debt crisis, the mass market dislocation. If you've watched this show for 2 years, you know I explained everything that was coming. Okay, well now it's all here. And now what you're going to see is you're going to see a whole bunch of people try to act like they didn't have anything to do with what we're going through now. Oh, it wasn't them at all.
Do you regret particularly the last one, the shutdown, the sweeping shutdown that some said made things worse?
No, I don't, Neil. And in fact, I think we need to make sure that your listeners understand I didn't shut down anything.
I'm sorry? And you know what? I'm sorry about something else here. Let's pause for a moment. Let's set Fauci's obvious lie aside. Neil Cavuto, when Trump talked about hydroxychloroquine, Neil Cavuto used his show to go on and talk like Trump was some idiot snake oil salesman. Neil Cavuto has been pushing the vaccine so hard, he better have a Pfizer pension coming himself. So you're going to have to forgive me if I don't sit back and applaud as Neil Cavuto asks Fauci some tough questions. No, Neil. Everybody and their brother is Mr. Freedom Fighter now. Everybody's anti-lockdown, anti-mask. Hey, maybe that vaccine's dangerous. Everybody's that now. Where were you when it mattered? I know where you were. You were a lickspittle just like the rest of them. Neil Cavuto has been so kind to these people, he even let the director of the CDC come on his show, and this woman should be in prison.
Director, do you think the lockdowns went too far?
You know, many of those lockdowns predated me at the CDC. Here is what I can tell you since my time at the CDC and watching it even beforehand, and that is there were important decisions that we had to make in imperfect time with imperfect data. And we always updated those decisions as those data were evolving.
Imperfect? No. You do not get to ruin lives, end lives, shame anyone who opposes it as somehow being anti-science, and then come out now 2 years later and say, well, hey, life's imperfect, right? As new data came in, I had to make some adjustments. Look, we just didn't know. Boy, you all sounded like you knew when people couldn't bury their mother and father. Oh, by the way, when you couldn't have a funeral for your dead mom, your dead dad. Remember what they did in the middle of all that? John Lewis died, and they packed a couple thousand people, shoulder to shoulder, nuts to butts, right there in the church, so we could honor St. John Lewis. No, not your dad, of course. He didn't matter. He's one of those worthless peasants, probably loved freedom. But John Lewis, baby, woohoo! Bring out the masses. COVID will take the day off for St. John. No, you don't get to come out now and say, hey, we had no idea. No, monsters, you don't get to do that. Federal prison for all of them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We still got so much more for you here. We have a panel, we have Marjorie Taylor Greene. Maybe you're sitting there wondering, I wonder which businesses in my area are lick their finger and stick it in the air now. And I wonder which businesses are pretending to be all about that freedom life, but they were terrible under COVID. Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to shop at businesses that share your values and cared about freedom when freedom mattered? Would you like to know which businesses those are? Good, pick up your phone. Download Public SQ. It's right there in the App Store, whatever you have, Android, iPhone, Public SQ. It'll tell you the businesses in your area that share your values. I know where I'll be spending my money. How about you? Public SQ, go download it today. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
So this wasn't a way to avoid Republican investigations if they take over the House and or the Senate.
Oh, Neil, not at all, not even a little bit. I mean, I have nothing to hide, and I can defend everything I've done and every decision I've made.
It's got nothing to hide. Every decision was solid. It was all about the science, right? Very sciencey. Joining me now, my friend Scott Hounsell with Red State and Dr. Kelly Victory, Trauma Emergency and Public Health Specialist. Doctor, let's start with you right there, because I've heard so much about the science the past 2 years. Trust the science. The science. We're going to trust the science. We're all about that science life. But the science changed so often. What am I supposed to make of that when I look at all the destruction COVID lockdowns have done?
I'll tell you, Jesse, if you look up the word hubris in the dictionary, it says, see also Anthony Fauci. This is a man who does not have any humility whatsoever. It is irrefutable that the damage that has been done during this pandemic really starts at the top. From a public health perspective, he has failed all along the way. First and foremost, by not recognizing the damage that would be done to all individuals and simply focusing on a singular disease. He acted as if everyone was at equivalent risk. He promoted the application of these mandates with a broad brush, acting as if, you know, young children and healthy people under 50 were at the same risk as the elderly. He promoted pseudoscience in the name of masks, this totally made up construct of social distancing. He has continued to push the vaccines and brand new medications with a paucity of safety data behind them, while at the same time suppressing the use of easily, you know, readily available, inexpensive, and highly effective medications. I'm thrilled that he is finally stepping down. It's about 3.5 decades too late. He did tremendous damage during the HIV and the AIDS epidemic by doing, frankly, some of the very same things, suppressing the use of readily available effective medications in order to promote and pave the way for big pharma to roll out expensive brand new drugs and to push vaccines. And he ended up truly being complicit in the deaths of many, many people who should never have died during that epidemic, and the same thing he has done during COVID.
Mm-mm. Scott, you've done quite a bit of digging into Dr. Fauci. Can he defend all these decisions?
Of course he can, and that's part of the reason why he continues to move the goalposts and change definitions when it comes to the types of research that was conducted. At the behest of NIH grants, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, we look at the fact that there was originally there was an original name for it. They changed it later to gain of function, and now it's referred to as enhanced potential pandemic pathogens, all of which describe the same type of research that was conducted at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Even if you take Dr. Fauci at his own word, the entire purpose of conducting gain of function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology was to determine which viruses were primed and ready to make the jump from zoonotic jump from animals to humans. In order to do that, you have to genetically modify these viruses to know which will modify, which will end up becoming more deadly and more transmissible. This is literally the goal of the type of research they were conducting. For Dr. Fauci to say that they weren't conducting that type of research flies in the face not only of the grants that were issued to conduct that type of research, but even go against what the EcoHealth Alliance put in their report, stating that they had created an enhanced potential pandemic pathogen in 2017, and that it was more deadly than its previous virus. So this is all things that he's been saying that he hasn't been doing, but clearly the grants and the reports say that it has.
Dr. Fauci, he sounds like he has maybe the worst God complex I've ever heard. When asked about his mistakes, he points to our mistakes like he did right here.
So if you look at things we may not have done perfectly or even not done well, you go back and you try to learn from that. Maybe people can learn that if they would encourage people to get vaccinated, we may not have had so many deaths. So I think the people who criticized me should talk about their own reluctance to promote vaccination. That's the point that I would make in rebuke of that.
Doctor, we're still calling this thing a vaccine? Are we still doing this 2 years later? It's still a vaccine?
Yes, maybe he ought to read his own internal memos. Last week, Jesse, the CDC came out and acknowledged their new, quote, guidelines, indicating that they were no longer going to differentiate between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And if you actually read the supporting document that summarizes how they came to these decisions, it's because they now acknowledge, and all of the vaccine manufacturers acknowledge, that they do not stop you from contracting COVID, nor do they stop you from transmitting it. Furthermore, in their own words, they say that the two-shot series provides, quote, minimal protection, and that even the boosters provide, quote, transient but minimal protection. We now know from the preponderance of the data that being vaccinated for COVID actually increases your risk of contracting COVID. So the idea that now, you know, 2.5 years into this, with the mounting data on not only the adverse events related to the vaccines, but the fact that the vaccines, by their own admission, don't work. They don't do what we were told they would do. But he's out there still with Neil Cavuto talking about, you know, it's your fault. It's your fault that you didn't get vaccinated and you didn't promote vaccines. It's time really to expose this fraud. If you've had four shots, like he has, like President Biden has, like Jill Biden supposedly has, like Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer has, and you still contract COVID, and you still need to take Paxlovid because you're worried that you might have a bad outcome from the COVID that you got after your four vaccines, maybe it's time to acknowledge you were duped.
Scott, somebody, in my personal opinion, who doesn't get near enough scorn is Rochelle Walensky in the Center for Disease Control. Fauci's obviously an easy punching bag, and we punch him often, but Rochelle Walensky is the head of the Center for Disease Control. That was, prior to about, 2 years ago, a fairly trusted institution in this country. And now, I don't know about you, whenever I hear guidance from them, I actually laugh. This is a loathsome human being who's done unending amounts of destruction, especially to school kids.
Yeah, no, the fact that the CDC continued to stick by guidelines they knew statistically provided no benefit over the unvaccinated populations or those that were not locked down, they stuck to this narrative for, again, 2 years. If you look at the data that was coming out, and I did this numerous times throughout the pandemic, if you look at high vaccinated populations, the rate of infection and the rate of severe cases was just as high as those in lower unvaccinated populations. Even here in the United States, Vermont, which had a 90% vaccination rate, had a higher infection and higher death rate than did West Virginia, which had half the vaccination rate that Vermont did. So the point that exists here is that these vaccines haven't been doing what they were suggesting they are doing. Any of them, recommendations from the CDC, which continue to change. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. They don't ever stick to one of the things that they're going to say. It continues to change. It's a moving target. And even now with kids back in school, what is any different than was last year here in the state of California? We have no mask mandate. And last year, my kids were put through hell when it came to a mask mandate, even to the point where my child was kicked out of school because he failed to comply with the mask mandate.
Good grief. Scott, doctor, appreciate you both.
Thanks for having
me. Anytime, Jesse.
We're never going to get this reckoning, are we? Just as I heard both of them describe how terrible this is, my blood started boiling and it occurred to me, man, these people really are never going to, they're never going to see justice. All right. We're not done yet. We have a ton of show left. We still have Marjorie Taylor Greene, Brian Dean Wright. We have a great Light in the Mood. And I'm gonna take a moment during the break and I'm going to cool off. While you take a break, I want you to do something for me, though. I want you to go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Yes, it's my own website. Truth is, it's a partnership between the show and My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply, they're the company that's got unending 4- and 5-star reviews because they provide people with ready emergency food kits. You don't have to sit and agonize about how many cans of beans to buy. Are those granola bars going to expire? My Patriot Supply has 3-month emergency food kits available for my viewers, $250 off. Every single person in your home needs a 3-month emergency food kit. If there's only one of you, just get one. That's fine. But if there's four, get four of them, all right? Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. That gets you $250 off each one of them. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
Do you regret that it went too far, whatever your original intentions were? And it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback here, but that it went too far, that particularly for kids who couldn't go to school except remotely, that it's forever damaged them.
Well, I don't think it's forever irreparably damaged anyone.
No, it hasn't damaged anyone. What's the big deal? It's not like I'm sitting here on a fat stack of emails like you wouldn't believe from parents of special needs kids who talk about the last 2 years basically destroying their lives. Joining me now, my friend Brian Dean Wright of the Great President's Daily Brief podcast. I love when I get emails to my show saying, you were right, that thing's awesome. I told you it was a good podcast. Brian, Those kids are fine. I don't know what anyone's talking about. The kids turned out fine, didn't they? Dr. Fauci's not worried about it.
Well, he should be, and that's what we have this morning to talk about. A study from Johns Hopkins University and the University of Colorado. They looked at over 3,000 kids throughout this country, and they were specifically looking at this question. Did those lockdowns hurt them? Did they cause something called type 2 diabetes? Because what we know is that when kids don't move, when people don't move, we tend to become, as we're sedentary, we eat more, we don't exercise. That drives up this disorder. And it's really, really a painful, awful thing to have to manage. So they looked at these 3,000 plus kids, all locked down, and here's what they found. Jesse, a 77% increase of type 2 diabetes in America's kids. Now, that is a horrific number by any measure, and it's coming from two very reputable universities and researchers in this country. So this isn't just some, you know, fake study, right? This is real, and these are real families, and it is a nightmare for this nation to have to fix. And it's not just the kids. We know that it's adults who suffered from this as well. And indeed, there was data very early on in this that said, look, most people in the hospital from COVID complications are obese. 80%, in fact, in April of 2020, we knew that that was true in the hospitals of New York. So Fauci is wrong now, and he was wrong then. The public health folks in this country are absolutely accountable, should be held accountable for what they have done.
Good grief, 77%. That is nationwide child abuse. All right, we don't have all day to wait on this because you have so much today. The big news today is the student loan debt relief. Between $10,000 and $20,000, you get some relief if you're making under $125,000. Brian, break this down for us. I'm sorry, that doesn't at all sound even legal. How can they do this?
Well, that's the first question. Is it legal? Most folks are saying in the legal community, no, it's not. There needs to be an act of Congress that gives him the authority to do that. So we should probably expect that this plan, although it will likely be announced, but it probably not is going to be, it won't be stand without a legal challenge. But the real question here, the whole idea behind this, is that people need debt relief, right? Students need this. But is that true, right? Well, there was a study done by the Federal Reserve folks up in Philadelphia, and they asked over 13,000 borrowers a very simple question. Right now, you don't have to pay your student debt, but could you? If you had to start making your payments again, could you continue to make them? And over three quarters, 75 plus percent of borrowers said, yeah, I could. I could still make my payments. It wouldn't be a problem. So in other words, they don't need it. Now, they were asked, well, would you like it? Do you want it? And 86% of them said, well, yeah, I'd love to not have to pay that debt. Well, that's a shocker, isn't it? Now, amongst that data, 20% of borrowers said, you know what? I can't pay it. If you ask me to, I'm going to have a real hard problem paying this back. Now, reasonable people can disagree on whether or not we should provide them debt relief. You know, hey, they got themselves into it so they can figure a way out. Or, hey, let's be compassionate. Let's find a way for them to, you know, get some debt relief. But we actually already have a plan that's been approved by Congress for debt relief. It's called joining the military. Right now, if you want to join the Army or the Navy, you can get $50,000, $60,000 in student debt relief. So there are options for this. Now, I don't know what you think about people joining the Army, Kelly, but still, Mr. Jesse, it's an option for people out there.
Well, look, if you want to lower yourself and join the Army instead of the Marine Corps, that's certainly up to you. They're not going to get any judgment from me. Not everybody can be the best. All right, Joe Biden, he's considering sending money to Afghanistan. Look, at this point in time, we all understand we're just an open checkbook for Ukraine. Yeah, we all get the game now. Why are we sending money to Afghanistan, Brian?
Oh, Jesse, that's a great question, isn't it? We have $7 billion sitting in a bank in New York, the Federal Reserve up there, and it actually belongs to the government of Afghanistan, which, of course, is now run by Islamic terrorists. So the question is, what do we do with the $7 billion that we got sitting there? Well, half is currently being claimed by families who are suing the Taliban and the government of Afghanistan for the September 11th attacks. So that leaves $3.5 billion. What do we do with that? Well, Joe Biden is saying, you know what? I want to use it for the benefit of the people of the country, of Afghanistan. So he's now trying to find a way to get $3.5 billion back into the people of Afghanistan's hands, right? So what does that look like? Maybe it's cash disbursements. Maybe it's food. We don't really know. The Biden administration is working on some kind of solution. They're looking at a Swiss bank account. It gets a bit complicated, and I don't think it's going to work because regardless, whatever you put into Afghanistan, the Taliban, it turns out, has all of our guns. So they're just going to go up to people and say, hey, I want that, please. I appreciate that the Americans gave you that $3.5 billion, but I'd like it. And of course, people are going to turn it over because whoever has the guns controls the nation.
Brian, can you explain our elite and their love affair with Afghanistan? It seems like they're just in love with the place. They can't quit it, Brian. Why? What am I missing?
Brokeback Afghanistan. Wish I could quit.
Yes.
Yes. I'll tell you, you know, I don't know what it's all about. We've been there for 20 years. I think that might be a part of it. We think that we are so invested in the place and we got to see it through. Because there were a lot of people who spent their lives, their entire professional careers, trying to turn Kabul into, you know, Washington, D.C. And for a while it was like this little island of Westernness, right, surrounded by a country that didn't want it there. So I think that they just have this desire to turn Kabul into the United States. And while that might be admirable at some level, that's not how it works. The country has to choose that through an evolution, through a process. And so, unfortunately, the elites in this country don't get that. We think that we can do it by checkbook or by gunpoint, and that ain't how it works.
Brian, we talk a lot about the military-industrial complex, and, you know, it's one of those things so many people kind of roll their eyes when they hear. It almost sounds like some online conspiracy theory, even though it was guys like freaking Eisenhower who warned about the thing. But can you break it down for people in your own words like you do so well on the podcast? What is it?
So the military-industrial complex is a group of companies in this nation that provide us all the guns and the weaponry that we need for, well, potentially or supposedly, the defense of the nation. But really what it's turned into is, how do we fund the world's wars, right? How do we provide the defense mechanisms for all these countries around the world? But the problem is, once you start up that industry, they need wars, right? They need more demand. Well, so you have to, some people would argue, wars get started because these companies say, we need more demand. We need you to buy more of our stuff, you know, use up what we sold you before. So that's kind of what they call the self-licking ice cream cone, right, that exists in the world. These companies need war because they're selling war equipment, so let's start wars. That has long been the accusation by people like Mr. Eisenhower.
Brian Dean Wright, the podcast is the President's Daily Brief. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you.
You betcha.
All right. Swatting. You ever heard of that? No, I'm not talking about what you do to flies. Swatting. You know what swatting is? It's essentially attempted murder. I will break it down for you real quick when we get back. I'll tell you what swatting is. And did you know somebody did it to one of our congresswomen? One of our favorites? Marjorie Taylor Greene got swatted. She's going to join us next and talk about exactly what happened to her. Before we get to her, let's get to this. Let's get to your health. My health. No, I'm not Tony Robbins. I'm not some fitness expert. I'm not going to sit there and ever do more push-ups. I'm not doing that, although we all probably should do more push-ups. I don't trust the medical community anymore. I know there are still wonderful doctors and nurses out there. Maybe you're one of them. But overall, I don't trust the medical community anymore. That trust has been violated. I have resolved that I will take better care of my physical health for the rest of my life to avoid the doctor at all costs, the doctor who tried to tell me to put a mask on my face. That's part of the reason why I take a male vitality stack from Chalk. There are obviously tons of benefits, better focus, better energy, 20% increase in your testosterone in just 90 days with natural herbal supplements. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack, lit powder, whatever you need. Chalk is my one-stop shop to make sure I'm getting the nutrients I need, and they're hardcore anti-communists. Go to choq.com, promo code Jesse, get you 30% off the entire store, whatever you want. choq.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. Attempted murder is actually a crime. Did you know that? You know what swatting is? Swatting is when you make a call to the police, usually 911, and you tell them there's some dangerous situation, bring the guns, go fast to somebody's home, and what you're doing is you're attempting to have someone in that home killed. That's what you are. You want the SWAT team to kick in the door of whoever you've decided your enemy is. Maybe they pull out a gun to defend themselves, and they end up dead. How would you react if 1 a.m. came and someone kicked in your front door? I know how I would react, and that might end up with me dead. They tried to do it to one of our favorite people and one of our congresswomen. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene joins me now, obviously, of the great state of Georgia. It's your story to tell, Congresswoman, not mine. What happened to you?
Well, just as you said, it was just after 1 o'clock in the morning. I was sound asleep at home in my bed. I heard noise at my front door, heard doorbell, heard people outside my windows, outside my bedroom windows. Jumped out of bed, threw my clothes on, was really scared. But I went to pick up my gun, Jesse, because normally I answer the door with a gun, especially if I'm not expecting anyone to come over. But I just had this weird gut feeling, like, not to take my gun to the front door with me. So I put it down. And thank God I did, because just as you said, that could have been a whole totally different scenario. So I went to the front door and immediately saw outside my windows on my front porch, you know, police everywhere, and immediately started talking to them, and they told me what had happened. And I said, oh my gosh, no, you know, no one's hurt here, invited them to come in my house. And they were fantastic, Jesse. The police were so great. They had responded to that call immediately as if it was true. And they were in tactical awareness. They had their guns ready. But they also were wise enough to know that it could be a potential swatting scenario. And as soon as they talked to me, they knew what happened. But yeah, someone attempted to murder me. Jesse, someone attempted to have me murdered by police, which is horrific, because our police are wonderful and we need them to get criminals off the street. But they attempted to murder me. The person says themselves, it's because of my hard work and legislation and my position to protect children from this radical, disgusting, perverted leftist agenda where they're trying to mutilate children's genitals in so-called gender-affirming care. And I had just introduced a bill last week called the Protect Children's Innocence Act, and now they're trying to murder me for it. But Jesse, I am so upset and so angry that not only will I defend myself and my home and my family, but I am more resolved and committed than ever to protect our nation's children from the disgusting left who want to profit off of castrating teenage boys, chopping off young girls' breasts, puberty blockers, and all of this. It's horrific.
It is horrific. A couple things there. One, I do sleep in my underwear. I may have to start adjusting that because I'm sure this is going to happen to me. And two, I always answer a door, especially at night, with a weapon in my hand. It's always right by my side. I never unarmed in the home. That is frightening stuff to think we could have lost you. Okay, the person who did this, obviously they know who it is, some trans activist. Can you tell me, do you know, are they currently sitting in a jail cell? What's the status?
Not yet, but there's an investigation underway, and I really hope they catch this person. There's a lot of details to be developed, but I can't tell you all of them because they are investigating it, not only locally, but Capitol Police, everyone's involved. But this is a very serious situation. When the left is willing to kill members of Congress to stop us from passing bills that are so important, like protecting kids, Jesse, what is happening in our country? Like, I don't even know how we got here. It is insane, but it's political terrorism. And that's what happened to me last night, is political terrorism, but we cannot be afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. I will not back down. You won't back down. And none of us will. What we have to do is we have to stay committed into what we're doing because we know it's right. And if there's anything that we do in our lives that is good, it should be protecting kids. That should be number one. I can't think of anything better to do in my lifetime than protect children. But I'll tell you right now, I'll definitely protect myself and my kids and my family and my home and anyone that's there. And I'm a big believer in the Second Amendment. So you better bet I'm always armed, and nobody better try to come to my house by surprise at 1 o'clock in the morning, unless it's my great police here in Rome, Georgia.
That's, by the way, everybody, that's why you move to a red area, because the cops in my area are the same way. When that kind of thing happened to me, showed right up at my door. They were cool. I actually did have a gun in my hand. They didn't care. They were all good to go about the whole thing. All right, Congresswoman, finally, I need to ask you this real quick before we're out of time here. I love this bill. I love that you're trying to protect children. Please tell me the GOP is behind you on this for once.
Well, I am getting a lot of co-sponsors, but here's the argument. Well, I haven't talked to everyone yet. You know, we're not in session, so it's hard to talk to all of my colleagues. Everyone's back home doing district work or campaigning. But it's so important. Some of the pushback has been, hey, this is a state rights issue. And you know what? I am the biggest believer in state rights. As a matter of fact, at times I'm like, we just need a national divorce and split up between red and blue states. But when it comes to this issue, Jesse, this is where I strongly disagree with my colleagues, because we have federal laws to protect children from child abuse, sex child abuse, child trafficking. This gender affirming care, which is really gender mutilation surgeries and horrific, terrible medications and hormone therapy that will radically change them to permanent damage to their bodies. That is child abuse, and it should be a federal law, not a state law. And another reason, Jeff, is states like California, they want to take away parents' right to protect their kids. And they want to make it to where a teacher or psychologist or some sort of clinical lab or a hospital can bring these kids in without their parents knowing, and they can allow this to happen to kids under 18. And if that can happen in blue states, you know, this is why it has to be a federal law. There's certain things that are very important to protect on a federal level, and this is definitely one of them.
You know, go get them. Stay safe out there. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We have light in the mood next. That's scary stuff, isn't it? It's just that simple. I mean, we know people like my buddy Tim Pool. It's happened to him at his studio several times. Could happen here, right here while I'm talking to you on the air. Well, I've got my Glock 19 sitting right here beside me. If someone came kicking in the door, I would have it out of the holster and I'd be heading towards the door. Might be it. It's attempted murder, man. All right. Eden Pure Thunderstorm. They're wonderful. I've told you about them for a long time now. How many air purifiers have you ever had that reduced your family's visits to the doctor? We track everything in my house budget-wise. We try to be sticklers about money. And medical costs have always been part of that. You know, since we have an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, since we've installed one in my room, well, installed, you just plug it in, but in my room, the boys' room, and the living room, you know we had less medical expenses the past year than we had at any other year in their lives? How about that? Kills the viruses and mold in the air. The air you breathe is critical to your health. Get healthier. Get three Eden Pure Thunderstorms. They have a three-pack for sale for my viewers for $200 off. They deliver it to your home free. Shipping's free. $200 off a three-pack. EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code Jesse, though. If you don't use that code, you won't get this discount. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. Is there anything worse than cyclists? And look, maybe you're sitting there right now. Maybe you just got off your bicycle. I went for a 90-mile run, and I know you told everybody. Maybe you're offended. Let me be clear. I don't care. Stop hogging the road, and stop riding side by side, and stop blocking off huge portions of the road. I'll tell you what. We'll get to that light in the mood in a second. Before I start going off on that, I like gold. No, I'm actually not a jewelry person, as you can tell. It's just not my thing. I like things that I know will last. I like safe investments. I like safety, period. I like preparation. Why do I get gold from Oxford Gold Group delivered to my home? Gold coins delivered to my home. Why? Because I know no matter what happens, if the world comes to an end practically tomorrow, if it's Great Depression time, which it could be, or if times are great, no matter what happens, those gold coins will have value, incredible value always. They always have. I could take those gold coins 2,000 years ago. I could travel back in time. They'd have incredible value. And 2,000 years in the future, they'd have incredible value. That's safe. That's reliable. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call, okay? They'll take care of you. They're real laid back. 833-995-GOLD. All right. Cyclists. Man, I pity this guy in the pickup truck.
All I want to do is go home. I've been on the road for forever, man. I just want to go home and go to bed. But when you see my high and my fuel, do you realize how much gas is? No, because you guys pedal a bike.
Hey, slow down, sir.
No!
Yeah. Watch out! Watch out! Dangerous driver! Dangerous driver! We have an angry pickup truck driver coming through. We have an angry pickup truck driver coming through. Friends, can we get over, please? We have an angry driver coming through.
Why do you people do this?
Watch out, friends. Angry driver.
What?
Friends, watch out. Got an angry driver here.
Dangerous driver! I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.